This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring a discussion on government efforts and initiatives to control digital crime. The participants are Amit Dubey, cybersecurity expert, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, anchor.
So I'm joined by Shri Amit Dubey, who would discuss with us at length the discussions on government's efforts and initiatives to check the menace of digital crimes and what it means. What does it mean for a typical person who is a victim of cyber crime, cyber fraud? What are the steps that the person can take? What is the legal framework within which action can be taken, enforcement is undertaken by the authorities concerned? Dubeji, let's try and understand for the benefit of our listeners that what is a cyber crime and what is the nature of this crime that is affecting victims all across the country?
See, first of all, we need to understand that our 60% or 70% of life today is dependent on digital world or cyberspace. We call it cyberspace. Whatever we are doing nowadays totally depends on internet. We are accessing different e-commerce portals, applications for our day-to-day activities. And that's where the criminals are also playing a role. So if any crime takes place with the help of cyberspace, where they are building trust with you through any applications, web portal, or any communication mechanisms, social media, etc., we call it cybercrime. It is done either to cheat you or to siphon your money or to access your data or to harm you through other some means. But eventually, it is done by accessing some of these applications or components. We call it cybercrime. And in India right now, we are through Gruha Mantralaya portal, I foresee www.cybercrime.gov.in portal. We receive close to 7,000 to 8,000 cybercrime complaints every day, which in total becomes close to 200,000 in a month and more than 2 million in a year. It's actually very rapidly growing, and we are losing close to 15,000 crores almost every 2 years. So this is a big issue, and that's why Government of India has taken many initiatives. So Government of India has taken many initiatives to counter this challenge. They have come up with lots of public-centric platforms. Because see, in India, law and order is a state affair. So if any crime takes place, you need to deal with your state police and they can only investigate it. But cybercrime, normally they do not have any boundaries. Criminals can be anywhere and victims could be anywhere. So this is very challenging for any law enforcement agency to handle this. And that's why there are central bodies. Those are created, especially this Indian Cybercrime Coordination Center, which is responsible to register any cybercrime happening in India through the centralized portal. They also disseminate this information to state police. They also assign IOs who will be taking care of this investigation. And you can also see your day-to-day progress, how police is working on that case, and if there's any progress, and if you need to provide any other information, any other details about your crime, you can also put that on a regular basis. So this is a very smoothly coordinated portal. Other than that, we have applications and call centers like 1930 is a dedicated helpline to register any cybercrime. And there you can not only inform about the crime, but can also block the money where this criminal has actually transferred money fraudulently. So 1930 has this special power that they can freeze any bank account in India for 48 hours. So this is offered as a service to all the users, digital users, that if they feel that somebody has transferred some money fraudulently to another account, they can use 1930 to block that other account. And then an investigation will start and you may receive your money back. Very effectively running portal and very effectively running call center. I think these two initiatives are brilliant and they are really doing well to counter this challenge.
So the key point for our listeners is to remember that you have to dial 1930 early enough for the action to be taken so that the movement of money is frozen for that 48 hours. We understand that deception is a very key ingredient for the offense of fraud and cheating. How does a typical victim of cybercrime learn from that? How do others learn from that? How should they protect themselves against potential fraudsters?
See, we need to understand the criminals are building trust with you and then manipulating your decision-making capability. That's the key for any cybercrime. And they can build this trust because they have some of your information available through either social media or sometimes the leaked databases are there through which they can gather this information. For example, if somebody calls you impersonating any of the legit body, insurance company or telecom company or government body, that I'm calling from Airtel or I'm calling from Government of India or any other company, and then they say build trust with you by providing you some of your personal details, that this is your PAN card, Aadhaar card, bank account details or any other information which only you know. You will easily trust that person. And then the person will offer you something that you have some dividend, or he'll either threaten you that your SIM card verification is due, and if you don't do that, it will be blocked in next 3 hours or something. And that's where this all starts. Once you get scared or you get lured, you will start following all those instructions and you will lose your money. So the information which is leaked or which is shared on social media platforms is also a big, big vulnerability, which I think we need to take care of. We should minimize our digital footprint. We should not tell each and everything on social media. And whenever we are sharing our documents, this is a recommendation from my side, whenever we are sharing our Aadhaar card especially, we should not share Aadhaar card with each and everyone. Rather, we can have a special masked Aadhaar card, which you can download through Aadhaar application or Aadhaar portal. And this masked Aadhaar card will have only four digits shown, last four digits shown of your Aadhaar card number. The rest of these digits will be masked. And this is still acceptable. And it will be protected through a QR code. So all these places where you need to submit this as an identity proof or something, you can use a mass Aadhaar card and it will be safer than giving an open Aadhaar card. Similarly, if you are giving your PAN card or anything, you should always cross it, sign it, and you should give date and time also that you are giving this document for this purpose. You should not just allow anybody to Xerox it and take it as a copy, because this can definitely be misused by criminals.
Essentially, the criminal is exploiting a victim's weaknesses, which is how they are able to access information and also manipulate their behavior. Could you tell us something about Chakshu, which is under the Sanchar Sathi initiative, and DIP, the digital intelligence platform that was announced by the government recently to tackle this menace of cybercrime?
So Sanchar Sathi is also another initiative of Ministry of IT and Government of India, where we have many services. One of them is called Test Cop service, where anybody can find easily that how many SIM cards are issued on his name. Because somebody can misuse your Aadhaar card and can get some SIM card issued on your name, and those could be misused. So you can just go to this portal, testcop.sancharsathi.com and then .gov.in, and then you can put your Aadhaar card number over there, verify it, and it will show you all other SIM cards, if there is any other SIM card linked to your Aadhaar. So very effective portal. Then it will also help you if suppose you lose your phone or it is stolen, you can block your SIM card instantaneously, and you can also block your mobile phone. The IMEI can be blocked so that nobody can use that phone again. And even if it is stolen, it is a waste for the criminals. So this is just to discourage the criminals to steal any mobile phone. And you should always go to this portal, sancharsathi.gov.in, and you should register your stolen mobile numbers, mobile phones, IMEI numbers, so that these can be blocked on all the telecom operators' network. So these two are very good initiatives by Sanchar Sathi. Now they have come up with Chakshu, which is a brilliant initiative. This is especially to provide a coordination across various state police department and law enforcement agencies. So they can share their findings, they can share their details about any particular kind of modus operandi, cases, FIR numbers, and can accelerate the investigation process. So this was missing, as I mentioned, that because investigation is normally conducted through state police, and there's no such centralized body which can provide them these details. I think Chakshu will help them now, where through this platform they can directly communicate with all other state police and can accelerate their investigation process.
So essentially, the first information will go through the helpline number 1930 that you mentioned earlier on this NCCRP, the National Crime Reporting Portal. And you have the benefit of Chakshu as well for law enforcement to act upon that information. How important is a new criminal manual in facilitating a justice for the victims of cybercrime? You have the new criminal law, which is going to be effective from the 1st of July 2024, both in terms of criminal procedure, the penal offences, and the Evidence Act as well, which has undergone change and reform. How important are these for law enforcement in order for them to take action against these criminals?
I think this was really important, because this was under discussion since a long time, that why prosecution rate is so low. Even if we are catching these criminals and taking them to court, eventually they get bail and they are not prosecuted, or they take some advantage of loopholes that we have in our processes or systems or Evidence Act. So this particular criminal procedure or guideline will help us to follow a standard SOP and then avoiding any such loopholes in our investigations. First of all, sometimes we have doubts that can we make intermediaries also party to this crime? Because these criminals are taking the advantage of that portal or the service which is offered by somebody else. All these kind of doubts will be cleared in this guideline document. And anywhere in India, if anybody is investigating any cyber crime, they'll have to follow the same SOP. And they'll be very clear from the day one that how to collect the digital evidences, how to preserve them, how to report them, how to present them in court, and to ensure that, yes, if they have identified a criminal, he or she should be prosecuted timely. This is very, I think, indeed, very, very, very important thing to increase the prosecution rate also in India, which was very low otherwise.
Amitji, do tell us about this new criminal case management system that has been introduced by the Honorable Home Minister for India, Shri Amit Shah. How is that a game changer for law enforcement, and what's the role of the NCRB in archiving records?
See, I think digitalization is very, very important to counter the cyber criminals. We cannot use the traditional investigation methods, and that's why the government is trying to build these new platforms, interactive platforms, where state bodies could coordinate and can share various kind of information. So if you remember, we have a CCTNS kind of platform. It was a big project where we wanted to record all kind of crimes, their criminal details, digital footprints. And if the same criminal is operating in multiple places, we can reach to him easily. We can proactively use this data to block him for any future crime. I think this was the mandate. Now with the cyber crime, it has become much more challenging, because criminal is not even moving. Criminal could be at one place and he can conduct or he can target multiple victims from different places. So that's why now it should become much more real time. If the crime is taking place in real time, the investigation should also be real time. If we will take it, it will do the investigation later on, it will not be helpful. Criminals will always take the advantage of it and they'll get away from the hands of law enforcement agencies. So I think this is why this management system, the criminal management system, is very, very powerful, where we'll not only share the common modus operandi, the criminal details, profiling them, their mobile numbers, their IP addresses, their digital footprint, their social media accounts, their everything, whatever they are using for communications, to Skype account, to LinkedIn, to anything. And they'll create a digital footprint of that person. This digital signature will be shared across various law enforcement agencies also, and also state polices, where they can take action against this person proactively. If he's moving his location, if he's changing his pattern, if he's doing anything.
Sir, I would like to bring your attention to the new mobile app called Sankalan, which is helping those users to navigate through, you know, all the criminal laws which have been introduced now into the system and the amendments therein, not only for the benefit of the victims of cybercrime, but actually for the law enforcement community. How important is that really for this type of knowledge flow for the benefit of our citizens?
Because see, every day the kind of crimes that we see and the modus operandi and the patterns keeps changing. And that's why I get queries from police officers that which section should be applicable in this crime? How should we register this case? Whether this is a crime or not? For example, deepfake crimes. Now, deepfake crimes, when it reaches to police officers, they get confused that how should I treat it? Is it just an identity theft or it is beyond that? So now this Sankalan app will help us to standardize that process also.
Could you tell us about the Aadhaar-enabled payment system as well? You mentioned about what are the different ways in which we are taking steps to mitigate, reduce the effect of cyber crimes.
To ease the withdrawal processes or banking processes, Government of India has initiated an Aadhaar-enabled payment system. And 114 financial institutions were authorized to provide the service to the customers, to the village people, remote areas where they cannot set up ATMs, where person can withdraw money or transfer money or can pay bills, etc., through Aadhaar card or through their fingerprints. So they just need to provide their Aadhaar number and they need to use their fingerprint and the payment will happen, or they can withdraw money.
Well, thank you so much, Amit Dubeji, for telling us extensively the developments in the field of mitigating the risk of cybercrime and how what the government efforts are and the initiatives to control digital crime. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on government efforts and initiatives to control digital crime. The participants were Amit Dubey, cyber security expert, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.